And in that vein, there have been, over the last several years, I think, at least two pipeline explosions in Ohio.
Yes.
And two or three in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we just had one a couple months ago.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, the videos are online. You can see that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And it's especially the one that was in eastern Ohio, southeastern Ohio.
Yeah, Senecaville. They had one in there. Yeah.
And that was, you know, that made the news in Columbus. I remember that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they couldn't do anything about it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, two things about that pipeline that explosion that are different than this one is that was a gathering line pipeline. That was not a transmission line. So the pressures and the volumes were markedly less than the one that you're talking about. Secondly, that one was so close. I mean, it was, I know exactly where it happened because I've been down there several times. It was probably less than a mile and a half as the crow flies from a huge Mark West. Mark West is a big oil and gas player as far as midstream stuff. They have a huge property, huge cracking and compressing property down in, it might be Senecaville, it's whatever, it's in that, it's one of those townships. And it was a mile and a half away from it. If it had happened any closer, I mean, an explosion at that site, yeah. You know, you're talking about your volunteer fire, an explosion at that site, you would just have to let the thing peter out. There's no way you could control it. Yeah. You don't have the manpower or the woman power to come in and, I mean, you can't have a, you know, volunteer fire department with their hoses. It's like, this thing is out of control, which means what? It means this thing is going to run its course.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that worries me about your compressor station is, you know, it's just, these things are just, it's not to say anything could happen, but if it does happen, there's no turning back.
Yeah, that's happening. even if it only happens once.
But that's all it has to happen.
That's all it takes. Yeah. I mean, like, Event Horizon, you know.
Right.
People talk about, with pipelines and stuff. Well, you know, it only happens once every 5 years, but...
Well, it only has to happen in the right spot for it to be very, very...
It happens very once every 5 years, but it takes the environment 50 years to get over it.
And who do you... at the county level or at the state level or at the federal level, I mean, there's just no one... No one's watching the hen house, right? I mean, you guys have lost faith in all levels of that.
Yeah, as far as I know... none of the current electeds are really concerned or in any way sounding an alarm, with the exception of the Medina County Auditor, Mike Kovac.
Yeah, someone told me.
And he has already publicly stated that the property values are going to go down in the county. And if the property values go down, then the tax revenue is going to go down. The county commissioners are already talking about raising the sales tax because they claim that they don't have enough money.
You mean to offset the decline in property tax value?
No, I'm not quite sure what their reason is. Yeah. I've been reading the paper and reading their statements, and I'm really not quite sure what their reasoning is for increasing the sales tax.
Well, if they have a number that they need to get to every year, and they know, because of this guy Mike Kovac, that number isn't going to be gotten to by way of the property tax, they must think, well, we got to get to that number, so how do we get to this number?
That could very well be.
So to offset some of it, they might. So that would be the Medina County sales tax? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. As you know, in Ohio, every county's got its own...
Right.
Sales tax,
right?
Instead of the entire state having just one. The state does have one, the base, but then every county adjusts.
Have you heard about any other counties along the right of way talking about raising the sales tax?
No,
that would be an interesting thing to understand.
Yeah, that would be. Going back to Michael had talked about the gentleman who could smell gas on his property. My understanding is that this gas is not going to have that artificial scent added to it.
Right.
So if there is a gas leak, you aren't going to smell any gas.
Right.
How are you going to know there's a leak?
Right. shouldn't be on you to know that. These things should be implemented with real time. And it's kind of like I always tell people when I talk about these pipelines. My wife used to work up in Alaska when she was doing her PhD. And I was going to work with her and her the project with her and her advisor. And I remember I traveled up to Fairbanks, Alaska. And she worked at this remote field station up in the permafrost up there, halfway between Fairbanks and Prudhoe Bay, which is a big oil field, in case you know. And the way you get to her site is you basically take the haul road, the pipeline road, that all the big trucks take, and you just take it, and then halfway up, you just take a left, and she's right there, you know, and, like, there's signs all along the way of people, you know, very, you know, rugged individualism up there, and, you know, all that stuff, but what I was struck by is the pipeline's to your left before you get to the Yukon River, and then when you get to the Yukon River, it goes to your right. But the point is that it's above ground, and it's built in such a way that it, like, zigs and it zags to account for permafrost, freeze and thaw. And the way that it was described to me, and I went and I looked it up, is this thing is so, you know, it's in such crazy weather, you know, environments, that this pipeline, and there's a lot of revenue flowing through that pipeline, is... it's the only thing that gets stuff out of that situation in the winter. Is there's so much money invested in this that they, in real time, can shut it down within a meter or 3 meters. So, like, if anything happens, they have that whole thing, there's instrumentation along the entire route of that thing to within the point where they know within 3 meters what's happened, and they can sever that so that nothing happens again. Because the cost of cleaning up an oil spill in the permafrost in January is millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And the reason I mention that to you is because it tells you that these companies, when pushed and when put in the right situation, can do some sort of the right thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, because they always say, well, we got to do it. No, you don't. Because when up in the permafrost, you spend millions of dollars to get this thing, quote unquote, close to right. Here, we're just putting in the ground, put some fill over it, and call it a day. To me, it strikes me that it's like, they're just cutting corners everywhere.